still all know, we're looking at passages in the Bible where Jesus' followers or the people around him were amazed at what he did or what he said. And today we're going to explore Jesus' encounter with a demon-possessed man in Luke chapter 4. Now, I don't like to give away a story before I even start it, but Jesus casts out the demon and he wins. He's triumphant, unsurprisingly. And the people around him were amazed at his authority and at his power. And I want us to keep this message in our minds today and in life in general, that Jesus wins. And we can be amazed at what he does.
Good.
Okay. So to give you some context of where this Bible story fits. So when Jesus kind of grows up and becomes an adult, the first thing that we hear about is him getting baptized. Then the Spirit leads him into the wilderness and tries to tempt him, tries to get him to use God's power for his own benefit. But Jesus doesn't give in to temptation. Then the Spirit leads him to a place called Galilee. And here, he has a great time. People are listening to him. They believe what he says, and they believe who he is. Yeah, that's great. So next, he goes to Nazareth, which is his hometown. Now here, he was rejected. His friends and family just couldn't get over the fact that he's just Jesus the carpenter from down the road. Surely, you know, he can't be claiming that he has some authority over us or over anything else. They couldn't get over it, and they're actually offended when he tried to claim authority. And they cast him out of town. They tried to kill him by chucking him off a cliff, which is quite
extremely
upset. Exactly, especially when it's your friends and your family, people who know you. But Jesus walks away unharmed, and he goes to a place called Capernaum, which is a city of Galilee. And that's where we pick up. And this is the first miracle that we hear about explicitly in Luke's gospel. So let's read the passage. It's Luke chapter 4, 31-37. Do I have a reading volunteer? So why don't you read to us?
Raise your Bible at the wrong moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus casts out a demon. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and taught there in the synagogue every Sabbath day. There too the people were amazed at his teaching, for he spoke with authority. Once, when he was in the synagogue, a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, cried out, shouting, "Go away! Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him. "Be quiet, come out of the man," he ordered. At that, the demon threw the man to the floor as the crowd watched. Then it came out of him without hurting him further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, "What authority and power this man's words possess. Even the evil spirits obey him and they flee at his command." The news about Jesus spread through every village in the entire region.
Great, thank you, Sue. So this topic of demons or spiritual beings is something that I've found quite difficult over the years. It's quite an odd countercultural idea, I think, to some of us. But it can feel quite far removed from the society that we live in. I remember one time when I still lived in Rudgwick, I bumped into the vicar there, and he said, I asked him what he'd be up to today, and he said, "Oh, I've went to an old lady's house and cast out a demon from her house." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." Obviously, very polite, so I wouldn't say anything like, "You're crazy." But that's kind of what I thought. I thought, surely he can't actually believe that he's done that. That's like, I just couldn't really get my head around it and thought maybe he was just humouring the lady. Just being nice to her. And I think nowadays people often don't really like the idea of demons or spiritual things, and people think that when you read about it in the Bible, it's just people using using the idea of a demon to explain something they don't understand.
Mm.
So maybe in biblical times people didn't really understand disabilities or mental illnesses or learning disorders or anything like this. So some people might think that the idea of demons was just to give a name to something that they didn't understand. And in the past, this is the argument I kind of convinced myself with. It's like, oh, we don't need to believe in these crazy demons. I tried to explain it away, even in the Bible. But I think people now understand that disability, we know where disabilities come from. Well, as in, we have scientific understanding and we know what they are, so we don't need to name it with a demon. And people have learned that we don't need to cast out people that have a problem like this. Now, I think I've come to believe that there's something more to the demons that Jesus meets in the Bible. I took a closer look into what the Bible has to say about spiritual beings. And yeah, I found that there's actually maybe more than I gave it credit to. I think that there are some things that might have been misunderstood as demonic in the past, that thankfully we now don't need to class as this. But that doesn't mean that evil spirits don't exist. I think they do, and that they are a reality. The demons that Jesus encounters are more than our inability to explain things. Beyond an over-spiritualization that we might not agree with, there is a spiritual reality that I don't think we should ignore. And often it has been a topic that's ignored. And it's something difficult to talk about and think about, but I'm glad that we're thinking about it. Okay. So, this isn't my order. Yes. Cool. So, I took a look at what the New Testament has to say about demonic possession. Often, when somebody is possessed, we see erratic and irrational behaviour. Sometimes they have supernatural power and strength, and the demon will often speak through the person. So there's a story later on in the chapter of Luke where there was a man possessed by a demon, and people tried to chain his hands and feet to stop him from lashing out, but he was too strong and kept breaking the chains. So there was obviously something more than illness. Mm. He was stronger than he should have been. Mm. Okay, so now I want to look at the passage, take it apart and see what we can learn about this story. So, first of all, we hear that Jesus goes to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and he was teaching the people in the synagogues. So this is like, we've just got a visiting speaker in today, some guy called Jesus comes in and tries to teach us, great. But the people noticed something different about him. They were amazed because he had some sort of authority that was bigger than what they were used to hearing from their teachers. So now we hear that there was a man possessed by a demon. So what is this? What is this impure spirit, this demon? From Bible stories, we can learn that it's a destructive force that comes from the outside and enters into a human and takes control of them, hijacking the person. And that's why that's why Jesus cast it out. I'm not going to delve into the theological depths of who this demon might be, where it comes from, because it's weird and difficult and I don't really understand it, but ask Jeremy if you're interested.
Yeah.
And he'll point you to some results. But I think that was a big talk. What we do need to understand, though, is that it's a power of darkness, something that is fundamentally against God, against his plans. The spiritual battle language is used a lot in the New Testament, and it seems like these powers actively want to get in between us and God. They don't like that we bear God's image and that we display his beauty and his holiness and his glory, and we do his good works, and they do not like that. So, the demon cries out, "Go away, what do you want with us? Blah, blah. I know who you are, you're the Holy One of God." This sounds like a pretty disruptive church service. Could you imagine if Michelle just stood up and started shouting? it seems unprovoked. Nobody has, said anything to make him angry. But I would suggest that he was provoked. He was provoked by Jesus' holiness to an evil power, something so pure and holy and righteous and perfect is just intolerable. The evil force cannot deal with the presence of Jesus because it is God. Jesus' light threatens to expose the darkness of the evil spirit. Now, and I think we see that the demon identifies Jesus as the Holy One of God. That's quite a profound thing, I think. And it shows us that we're dealing with something spiritual rather than just a sick man. If it was a man, he probably would have just seen a teacher, somebody in church. But the spirit saw that it was the spirit of God. There's also an irony here. Remember, Jesus has just come from Nazareth, where his own friends and family couldn't even figure out who he was. But this demon has no trouble in identifying him. And he clearly knew that Jesus had power and authority too, when he says, "Have you come to destroy us?" So Jesus says, "Be quiet." Why would Jesus tell the demon to be quiet when all he's done so far really is say who Jesus is? Why might Jesus not want the demon to shout about who he is? Well, throughout the New Testament, we see that Jesus is very concerned about how he is revealed to people. He wants people to figure out for themselves that he is the Son of God. And because this is an evil spirit, he wants to get in between people and God. So if he was allowed to carry on talking, it's likely that he might start spouting lies and distorting who people think Jesus is. So Jesus says, "Come out of him." And the demon does. He throws the man down, but then comes out of him. People are amazed, and they see that he has power and authority. All it takes is a command from Jesus. And people wouldn't be used to seeing this kind of authority over dark spirits. I think if somebody had a spiritual possession or some kind of issue, they would have got sorcerers and enchanters to try and coax the demon out in weird and wonderful ways, but they would not have had the same success as Jesus. Jesus' victory over darkness is unique. He is the only one that has the power to just tell a demon to come out and it's gone. People just stood there in amazement and, of course, went and spread the gossip. I think it's also really important to notice that Jesus makes sure that the man isn't harmed. The demon tries to throw him down, potentially trying to kill him or hurt him. But Jesus has compassion on the man and protects him. The local people would have treated somebody with a demon possession as an outcast. But Jesus protects him because he knows that the demon is not part of the person. Evil is not meant to be part of humankind. And Jesus knows that better than anyone. He knows that evil is just a parasite that twists what's good. And it doesn't have to have power over people. It must have really upset Jesus to see somebody so hijacked by the force of evil. So maybe it's his compassion and ability that amazed the people too. So, I'm now going to look at how the story fits into Jesus' wider ministry. There's a verse here when Jesus, it's in the same chapter, but just a little bit before this story, and Jesus says that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free. So we know from this that Jesus wants to bring freedom to the poor people, to the blind people, to prisoners. But today's passage suggests that Jesus also wants to bring victory over spiritual oppression as well as physical or social or material oppression. Paul also seems to believe that the spiritual battle is important. So this is written in Romans from the Apostle Paul, and it says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Our freedom is not primarily about what we have, or our place in society, or our health, or whether we have a home. These are temporary things, important things, but the spiritual is more important, it seems. Our spiritual freedom is what we should be concerned about. So, and I would also argue that Jesus' miracles are never just about what's physical. I think it's really important. Jesus heals people because he has compassion on them because he doesn't like to see them suffering. And it's important that people are well and happy. But I think his miracles of healing have a place in a wide battle that's been going on for much, much longer. Mm-hmm. To understand why today's story is important, I think we need to place it within this bigger picture. So we're going to have a look at Jesus' narrative, the narrative of Jesus' victory over spiritual things. It's a pretty long journey. Lots happens, but it's quite amazing, actually, when you take a step back and look at it. And we can see the story unfold throughout the Bible. So it starts in the beginning. Adam and Eve face a battle of temptation, and they fall victim to the deceitful voice, to the serpent, who in the story is a depiction of evil. God punishes the serpent, and he looks forward to when the Son of Man will crush the serpent. Skip forward to our passage, and we see the Son of Man resisting the devil's attempts to deceive. He confronts evil head on and drives out the forces of darkness. And this is a wonderful miracle, but we know that that miracle itself is not the end of evil. Evil still happens after Jesus drives out that demon. But I don't think it is just an isolated victory. It's a partial realization of what God says about the serpent. But it also points us forward to Jesus' ultimate victory over darkness. I'm going to talk about this ultimate victory and describe it in two steps. So firstly, this is a passage again from Paul in Colossians. When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So Jesus has victory over darkness by his death and his resurrection. He paid that legal charge against us, which just means any sin that could be held against us. Jesus took that on himself and endured the punishment that we deserve. He removes our guilt, so we aren't guilty anymore. The devil's attempts to deceive us and accuse us and tell us that we're guilty are made completely powerless because we're made innocent by Jesus. Evil is therefore stripped of its favourite weapon, deceit. This is why Paul says that Jesus makes a mockery of the powers. Jesus has triumphed, and now we can share in that. We have permission to stand against these powers in Jesus' holy name. We share in his authority, and he can use us to cast out evil and to battle against evil. Secondly, we have the ultimate victory being realised when Jesus comes again. Jesus smashed the powers of darkness on the cross, but at the moment, again, evil forces still exist. They're still around, and we still have to battle. We might not come across demons every day, but we do face battles, whether that's temptation, fear, pain, anxiety. Jesus brings healing now, but we have to wait until the day of his return for full healing, when the battle will be ultimately won, and there will be no more evil. When the battle's over, every tear will be wiped clean, and there will be no more death and no more crying. So, conclusions. What have we learned today? Well, I think the story tells us that evil is real, and that's a reality. But on that day, Jesus displayed his authority over evil. The story looks back to when God says the serpent will be stamped out, but it also looks forward to both Jesus on the cross and then God's final victory when Jesus comes again. He has authority over darkness. And we don't need to just stand there amazed like the people do. By the Holy Spirit, we are equipped to also battle against evil. I'm not suggesting we're going to see demons regularly. The battles we face are likely to be less than a demonic possession. But, I mean, it could happen. But, as Hilton was saying last week, it's really easy for deceitful thoughts to creep into our lives. We can believe that we are not loved, or we can believe that we need to be a certain way or do a certain thing to be loved. But these thoughts don't need to have any power over us, because Jesus had victory on the cross, and we can be certain of his victory when he comes back. The voice of evil cannot condemn us, and we can stand firm because we are justified. And as Paul says, nothing can take this victory away from us. Even demons, nothing can stop the fact that God loves us. Mm-hmm. I want us all to think about this message is something that it can seem a bit abstract, but I think it's a really important thing to have embedded in our hearts and in our minds, to know and believe and live out the fact that Jesus has won.
Mm, yeah. Mm.